We're continuing our shiurim on Inyanei Tshuva, and today we're speaking about a mahalach of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What I want to do is really three things today. Number one is to give a bit of a hakdama to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who he was, and the way in which he gave Sichos Musar, and why it's important to appreciate what he said. It's a sefer that is certainly around our base medrash. I'd love to give some broader context as far as who Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was and why I think the sefer is as impactful as it can be and should be. Why it's important that it be as impactful as it can be and should be. We're going to introduce, the goal today is really to explore one mahalach of his. We're going to first sort of give some background to that mahalach, and then we'll explore what Chaim Shmulevitz actually does. As Hashem, it should be good. Chaim Shmulevitz was a Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. As part of the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, so he was somewhat unique, and let me try to draw upon or to note one element that many of his Talmidim pointed out about him that can give us some insight in terms of who he was. We'll begin with Rav Yoel Shortz, who's a Chashur Tam Chachman Yishalayim, put out a sefer for Chaim Shmulevitz, where he notes the following. There's Machlokas in the Medrash, in the Yalkut Shimoni, in the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. It's Machlokas on the sheet, I apologize, between David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, where Chachma is located. In the human body, is Chachma located in the head, or is Chachma located in the heart? Many suggest, I believe, that what's behind that medrash is not just a question about where the brain is found. That's fairly clear. What they're arguing about is where Iker Chachma, what realm of human existence do you look towards to really appreciate and be able to understand what Chachma, where wisdom can really be found. There's a Chachma of the intellect, of the brain, of the head, a Chachma which is more intellectual, a Chachma that can analyze, conceptualize, and be able to assess things philosophically. There's a Chachma of the heart. There's a Chachma that takes place, dafka, in the realm of the emotional, that there's an emotional intelligence, there's an emotional sensitivity, there's ability to connect to people, not intellectually, but through shared experiences, being able to appreciate that realm of human emotion. And the machlokas between David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech was really about where is Iker Chachma really found. Iker Chachma's b'moach, Iker Chachma's b'lev. Yoel Shortz points out that in Bali Musar, so you find Bali Musar, Rav Dessler, let's say, his examples, Rav Dessler, Mechtav Eliyahu, is more of a person where Iker Chachma's in Machshava. It's a bit more intellectual, it's a bit more developed in a certain kind of way. It's about shifting our orientation, our perspective, our understanding. That's one avoda of Bali Musar. Yecheskel Levenstein, Reb Chaskel there, or Yecheskel and others, emphasized much more the world of regesh, the world of emotional connection. Many of us know, with our own experience, listening to different speakers, there are speakers that can move us intellectually, and there are speakers that can move us emotionally. What makes Reb Chaim Shmulevitz unique, this is noted by many, many of his Talmidim, was this unbelievable synthesis of both moach and lev, a synthesis of indescribable intellect with unbelievable compassion and emotional sensitivity. Rabbi Hill Goldberg from Denver, if any of you are familiar with him, a wonderful writer and scholar in the world of especially Bali HaMusar, describes it very, very powerfully, the emotional and the intellectual. It's in source number one in the sheet from a book called Illuminating Generations, which goes over, it's an overview of the thought of different Bali HaMusar. That to be able to appreciate a little bit who Chaim Shmulevitz was, he's a person which, number one, he's Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva, an incredible, incredible bucky. He's Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkup, Shari Yosher. Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, he's a person that they say, one of the maisas that they quote, is that when he once walked into a room when he was younger, so Reb Chaim Ozer, who was the Gadol Ador at that time in Vilna, stood up for him. He said, why is he standing up for him? So he said, when the Ezra's Torah, they used to call like what we call the Otzer, they call the Ezra's Torah, when the Ezra's Torah of Mir walks in the room, you stand up. Like his bekiyas in all the Sfarim, just in the library there, was so overwhelming. There are wild mices of him. I think it's the mice of him when they were in Shanghai. And there was a page missing from the ketzos. I think the way they said the mice over was he just wrote it. Wrote the ketzos down. Unfathomable bekiyas and memory. That's in the world of intellect. In the world of regesh, in the world of just emotional sensitivity, emotional connection. So you're talking about a person that was able to very much cry and daven on Yom Kippur for the Jews that were stuck in Russia and weren't able to get out. Another person that, when there are individual people who experienced tsaras, was able to, would at times cry. They tell mice over here, he has to go to the sefer, that when he was giving a mussar shmooze once, describing Rabbi Kiva's wife and the mesiras nefesh for Rabbi Kiva's wife had, able to give up so much so that her husband would be able to learn Torah. So to describe the Chayes Lasi, he couldn't continue because there were just tears down his eyes, connecting so much. He's a person who's an amazing, we'll use the word because it's a Shabbos, a shiluv. It is an amazing connection and synthesis of the world of Moach and the world of Lev. Someone that said it doesn't have to be a machlokas, where Iker Chachma is, Chachma can be found in all of those places. His sichos muster, so he has shiurim that he wrote up, Shari Chaim, though those are shiurim of Lamdas. But sichos muster is a classic. It's a classic. It's a classic sefer. And you see in it, that connection. The bekiyas he had, as far as a lot of it is, if you learn the sefer, is more primary sources. He quotes a bit from more recent times, but a whole lot of what he quotes, Psukim in Tanakh, Gemaras, Chumash, and basic Mefarshim, and it's an amazing form of analysis in it. Often a lot of a sichos muster is a particular point with multiple applications of that, found in different Ma'amari Chazal, found in different Mefarshim, having a yesod and showing you how it goes in many, many different contexts, and then building and going from there. So again, the mastery of Torah is there. But it's sichos muster in a way which is really tapping into a certain avoda of muster, a certain ability to be able to highlight ideas that are relevant and to move from there. Rav Wolbe, in the beginning of the second chelik of Ali Shor, I believe, I didn't get a chance to see it this morning, but points out that there was a shift. The time of the original Bali HaMusar, and here's a Torah which is important, the Shir Klali was given by the Rosh Hashiva, and the Mashkiach was the one who gave the Musar Shmuz. Because the same way a special Chachma is required to give a Shir Klali, so to give a Musar Shmuz requires a certain kind of Chachma. Kaiser kind of Chachma. And if Wolbe, I believe, if I remember correctly, laments the fact that in his door you saw a shift, and the shift was that the Rosh Hashiva gives not only the Shir Klali, but also gives the Musar Shmuz. And sometimes when the Rosh Hashiva gives the Musar Shmuz, it has more or less the same tzura of a Shir Klali. It's just instead of giving it on whatever sugya you happen to be learning of Lulav HaYavesh, you're giving it on in Yonei like Musar. So it'll be like a half hour Me'ein Shir Klali on Tefillah. You'll quote more Ma'amari Chazal and you'll quote, you know, different things. And the idea will be Mechazik and Tefillah. But sometimes it lacks the Chachma of the Bali HaMusar, of really knowing how do I give a Shmuz which will build people and move people, how I can have systematic growth. So there are obviously Rosh Yeshiva who are able to do both. There obviously are. And Seder Rechayim Shulevitz is undoubtedly one of them. That a person who had the capacity to be able to give a Shir Klali, but also give a Sichos Musar, it's a unique phenomenon. And in Odoma, the Sichos Musar of someone that could give a Shir Klali, to experience and be exposed to his Bekiyas in Torah, something which is very, very powerful. It's one of the reasons why the Sefer is so popular. Happens to, in general, not be an overwhelmingly challenging Sefer. It's one that people can go through. I spoke in the summer a little bit, in a different context, about how the Sefer, at least for me, certainly at a particular stage in life, was immensely, immensely helpful as far as orienting towards a certain avoda, a Sefer I thought that I could learn and make my way through, if not every Raya, at least a bunch of them, and to be able to really sort of be sensitive to what's going on there. It's an unbelievable series of Sefarim. And a person who is in many ways sort of alive in a very powerful way in the world of Torah. That's just a Hakdama. He has a particular shmuz and sichos muster that we're going to learn a little bit together, but we're going to begin by giving a little bit of background to be able to appreciate what he is exactly doing. Sichos muster in source number 3, this is Maimar Kuf Aleph in the new edition. When I went to the new edition, I borrowed someone's yesterday, did not know it, someone else's yesterday. Oh, can I return it now? In Maimar Kuf Aleph, where he points out an interesting phenomenon, and one that's important. He says, Yom HaDin Tepanas. Yom HaDin Tepanas. Who isn't scared? Vihine Yom HaDin. Ezel Chayim. Ezel Amin. It's a scary time. It's a scary time. He says, L'chora Hayaniria, I would have thought that who are the people that should be most scared? People most scared are the people that really had a terrible year, that really are not so successful in regards to learning, in regards to their ruchnias. I would have thought those are the people. Those are the people that really have a lot to be scared of. But he says, it's interesting, when you look around a little bit, it's actually not what you find. It's really not what you find. What you really find is that sometimes the ones who you think have the least to worry about have the longest vidoys on Yom Kippur. And the ones that you think should be most comfortable, like, you know what, you did pretty well this year, are the ones that you'll see sometimes tears coming down their eyes and you'll have them no run time. And it's not coincidental, because it's Dafka, he quotes the pasuk that we say, Shabbos Mincha, Sefer Tehillim, Tidkasak Harekel, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabba, Adamu Behema Toshiya Hashem. Tidkasak Harekel, those who have a certain kind of righteousness know that Mishpatecha Tehom Rabba, they're more aware of the fact that God's judgments are very, very intense and it's very, very deep and it's very, very real. And sometimes, starting point, a person shouldn't have the orientation of Chaim Shel Levitz. This is our number one. You're talking to creative people who are good B'nai Torah, who have been doing a great job. Don't think that because you've been doing a great job, that means that there's less Emes HaDin. Sometimes the more they want to appreciate just what really is at stake, the more one's cognizant of how much there is to focus on and what a person can do, to already get intense a little bit. Chaim Shel Levitz is not from the world of, again, he comes from the world of Bali and Musar a bit, Mir, Rav Yerucham, Lezi Finkel, others. He comes from a certain world of intense Musar. He's not coming from the Mahalach of Hashem loves you all the time. Don't worry about it. It'll all be okay. He's not coming from the time that says, don't engage in that much introspection. Just focus on the future and do what you can going forward. What he's focusing on is, no. Focus on the past and be a little bit intense. This is real. This is real. And even if a person's great to know where they are. The Shmuz itself that we're going to focus on is based on the Pasuk in Eicha. Pasuk is a pasuk that many of us know. Nachzad drachenu v'nachkora v'nashuva ad Hashem. That a person who wants to engage in tshuva, that's why it's so fundamental, v'nashuva ad Hashem. So what does a person have to do? Nachzad drachenu v'nachkora. That a person should examine their ways. What does it mean to examine your ways? So amongst other Bali Machshava, this will be the Hakdama to what he says. He doesn't quote this. The Hakdama to what he says. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hei Darshan. What do we learn from this pasuk? Look, Imroa Adam Shiyasurin Ba'alav. If you see, Brachos Daf Hei, if I see that bad things are happening to me, so what's my reaction? So Chazal Darshan from this pasuk, that if bad things are happening, what do? Yifaz Mes B'masav. You should examine your deeds. If you don't find anything, so then assume it's Bittul Torah. If I don't find anything still, the Gemara says, assume it's Yisurin Shal Ava. But straight up, the pasuk we're learning from here, it's a Chiyav, in certain times, in times of challenge, it's a Chiyav when there are times that are struggling, to examine your ways. The Rambam and Shmona Prakim, Rambam and Shmona Prakim, writes, that, again, this is Rambam Lishitaso, that one of the reasons why we engage in examining our ways, there's no purpose in examining your ways if a person doesn't have the capacity to change their ways. If the way I was is the way that I am and always will be, so why is it worthwhile to examine our ways? Part of the reason why it's worthwhile is because examining my ways, I can change. I can do things differently. For the Ram in particular, Perek Hei, other Prakim and Hilchos Tshuva, Bechira Chafshas, free will, is the most fundamental yisod that stands behind all of tshuva. My free choice to live life differently, the fact that I may have struggled in the past, you know what, I have a hard time benching. I forget about benching all the time. I have a hard time benching with kavana. I know I skipped some of the word. I don't know. I don't know if I really nailed it all the way. Benching's really not my thing, or brachos aren't. So why is it worthwhile to engage nach derachin or v'nach kora? Why am I going to examine those things? Because I can change it. That's why it's worthwhile. There's no reason in beating yourself up over something that you can't really change. The reason why it's worthwhile is because if I believe that I can take steps to be able to do so differently. Back to the Rav Wolpe point, but change has to be intelligent and systematic. Change, there are ways of changing that work as part of the Chachma of Bale HaMusar. The Ramchal Messias Sharim, though, in Perek Gimel, gives us an additional sort of like twist looking at this pasuk, which is going to be, although I don't believe he quotes it, in many ways a starting point from Chaim Shel Levitz. And that's the following. Chaim says the Ramchal as follows, Kol Shel Davar, Tzarech Adam Liyos Mizbonim B'sich Lo Tamid B'chol Zman U'Vizman Kavu Alo B'sporedo. A person has to always engage in a degree of introspection, to think a little bit. How am I doing? What have I done that's wonderful? What have I done that's not as great? How am I doing? Mahu HaDerech HaAmiti L'Fichu KaTorah She'Adam Tzarech Leilichbo V'Achar Kach Yovel Lizbonim Al Ma'isav. Here's the starting point. Introspection. I want to assess how I'm doing. I'm in the Chaim Shel Levitz mode of thinking right now. I want to assess how I'm doing. So it says in Rav Chaim, you have to do two things. Number one is assess, broadly speaking, what is the pathway I'm supposed to be on? What's the pathway? What's the larger derech? That makes sense? And then number two, now I can start speaking about individual maisim. But so long as I am not clear on the eventual destination, so long as it's not so clear, where am I moving exactly, what exactly am I supposed to be doing, if that's not really clear, so how am I really going to be able to know the individual meisim that makes sense to invest in, which it makes less sense to invest in? LMI, first broad picture, and then I go on from there. Now we get to Chaim Shmulevit to Shmuz, which the Da'ati is amazing. One of the questions he asks is I don't know how it's not so yesodistic. Point as follows. Number one. Start hard number one, a lot of different rayas. Said Chaim Shmulevit the following. There are a lot of really great people who were scared. A lot of really great people who are scared. Not that they messed up on individual actions. They're scared, were they on the right path for them? Was my general derech a right path or a wrong path? Two examples that we'll bring. One is, it's a beautiful ha'ara. Yaakov Avinu, Bereishis, Perek Lamed Beis, I believe it's Parshas Vayishlach. A beautiful, beautiful ha'ara, Chaim Shmulevit. The Torah tells us, Vayir Yaakov Me'or Vayetzer Lo, Yaakov is very scared. He's about to interact with Esav. Why is he scared? So what? You're about to interact with Esav. What are you so scared about? So the Ibn Ezra explains, Yaakov was scared. He thought maybe he sinned, or maybe he made a mistake in his machshava. And because of that, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam promised him, don't worry, Yaakov, I'll always be with you, Yaakov is nervous, maybe he would mess up. Maybe he would mess up. That was his concern. They said, lo yi Hashem imo. He was getting messed up. Tereh Chaim Shmulevit, how could Yaakov Avinu have been scared he messed up? Did he not tell us a pasuk earlier, Im lavangar tive, tarik mitzvah shamarti? Didn't he tell us he kept everything? So if he kept all 613, why is Yaakov scared Hashem's not with him? Like, what's the deal? What's the deal? Why is Yaakov nervous? Hashem won't protect it. Maybe I sinned. You didn't sin. You gave me the statement three psukim earlier. In Lavangarti, Tariq Mitzvah Shamar. There's a lot of kash with the Tariq Mitzvah part. Really, all 613? I don't get it. You offered the Torah in the base of Megiddo and you're hanging out by Lavan's house? You know, one of the 613s is the Mitzvah of Gerushit? Like what? Really? Those are kashas to explore and to talk about, which have good answers. But that's not for now. Clearly, Yaakov was sure that on the level of Meisim, he nailed it. So what's he scared about? Chaim Shmulevit offers the following Torah, and here's so important. Yaakov wasn't nervous he messed up on the level of Meisim. Yaakov was nervous that maybe he was just on the wrong path. That maybe he did the things he thought he was supposed to do, but maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he was shagug b'machshavasa. Maybe he was off in how he assessed something. He was off in the pathway that he happened to have chosen. Chaim Shmulevit, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Now, so what are we exploring? Our derech, our ways, not our individual actions. We're exploring the mahal that we're on. We're trying to explore, is what I'm doing as a whole accomplishing what it's supposed to do as a whole or not? Is it accomplishing that or not accomplishing? Is it doing it or is it not doing it? What exactly is it really able to do? And he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Brachos and Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara in Brachos describes Yochanan ben Zakkai when he's sick at the end of his life, and he's crying, and his Talmidim say to him, why are you crying? And he says, Melch Basar Adam, I'd be terrified. How am I not going to be terrified here? And Chaim Shmulevit elaborates. Yochanan ben Zakkai is l'chora not as concerned about, so was I like Shomer Torah Mitzvahs or not? Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the great times. Of course he was. Of course he was. The fear, which sometimes you find with big people, is not, did I do the right thing, but did I assess things correctly? Was I on the right path? All the actions I did, which I believed were the right actions to perform, were those really the right ones or not? It's one of the scariest things in Avodas Hashem, is that we don't just choose to bench or not bench. We often choose pathways in Avodas Hashem. We choose the mitzvot to emphasize, and the mitzvot maybe that we're going to really, really, really invest in as much as possible. We choose, sometimes we would add hashkafically exactly where we're going to be. We choose who our rebbeim going to be. We choose who our chavrusas and friends going to be. We make lots and lots of choices. Lots of choices. And one of the concerns we get is like, okay, I'm really trying my best. I can't say I'm trying, you know, I'm really trying pretty hard. This week, end of the week, I'm pretty tired right now. Pretty tired because I was up late last night. A lot of people learning here pretty late. It was a long week of hours of morning Seder. I was able to focus. I came every day, 9:30, and I learned well. I came down, sheer. I invested. I did pretty well. But one of the concerns sometimes a person can have is, but maybe I invested, and I was just off a little bit in what I invested in. So I invested all my money, but I invested all of my money, you know, last week in like these like GPS machines, not realizing that like, you know, Waze and Google Maps have made those machines worthless. I've invested so much in something that maybe doesn't have the same impact that maybe I thought it really would. Maybe I invested incorrectly. Maybe the path I chose was the wrong path. And one of the scariest things is to figure out, so was it or not? Did I do it or not? There is no, this is the hard thing about you know, judgment from Ribono Shel Olam, there's no midterm where you get back your midterm grade. There's no weekly pop quiz where Ribono Shel Olam says, by the way, this week you were good, and you're like, okay, more of this next week. You know, oh yeah, by the way, just no. Like this year, like you got a B plus. I'm like, B plus, not bad. Last year was C minus. I'm moving somewhere, you know, I'm on a good path. Or maybe it's B plus, by the way, last year's no was an A. And you're like, ooh. Okay. You know, can I see like what I got wrong on this test? And be able to just like reassess a little bit? Like how either for many of us, like, wouldn't that be amazing to be able to get and to not have that as part of the challenge? Chaim Shalevitz has a question. I don't know where else this question is found. I don't know where it goes about it in this exact way. There are elements of it. You find ideas and insights in Chabad Chaim and Reb Tzadok, but the way Chaim Shalevitz does, I'm not aware of it. And he asked the following question. If you look in source number 18, he says as follows. It's in like the third paragraph on the column, like in the middle there. V'kan makom lebaldin lishol. Now, you want to know something? Here's the kasha. Here's the question to ask. Imkain ayeha derech yishkon orla das b'tzono yisbarach ha'amiti. How do I know what the real path is? Like, just tell me that. Yaakov is scared about it. Oi. Yochum is not going to scare about it. Okay, so like, what are the criteria I use in assessing whether the path I'm on is the right path or not the right path? Is that not the question we want to know? Like, how do I know if all this stuff is good or not good? What are the criteria for assessing what my derech is supposed to be? So Chaim Shalevitz does something brilliant. He highlights two or three different ways of knowing if you're on the right derech or not. He does that in the least fancy way possible, by noting psukim in Nach. And psukim in Nach that describe the derech of Hashem. What is the right derech? How do the psukim describe derech? And if I can assess the way the psukim describe derech, so that's probably the right derech. That's what like David HaMelech at the Hillel said is the right derech. So I'll go with him. I'll go with him. So let's point out a couple of things. He notes as follows. Tehillim Kuf Mem Gimel Chas. A lot of what he does is like primary sources. Gemaras, psukim, and be able to do brilliant things with it. So let's go as follows. Hashmi'eni ba'boker chastecha. Ki b'cha batachti, hodi'eni derech zo eilech, ki eilech nasasi nashi. The first step a person has to be able to find the right path is what you have here in Tehillim Kuf Mem Gimel, which is hodi'eni derech zo eilech, ki eilech nasasi nashi. David HaMelech davens to be shown the right path. That the first step towards finding the right path is incorporating that into your tefillah. Incorporating into your tefillah, Ribono Shel Olam, can you make sure that I'm going in the right direction? Can you make sure I'm going in the right direction? That the way I'm going, that I'm working a lot right now, I'm trying to be a more sensitive roommate, can you help me that I'm actually becoming a more sensitive roommate, that I'm doing the right thing to become a more sensitive roommate? That I want to be able to focus more in my learning. I want to be able to improve the quality of my relationship with my family. And as I invest in that realm, can you help me that like I'm investing in the right things and doing it the right way, because it's so chaval. I'm invested so much in strengthening my relationship with my grandmother, and I tried, and I just messed up. So I daven for that. The Rambam is very clear in a couple of places, like what's last year, that davening for religious success is something which is fairly compelling to do. We daven for success in Talmud Torah, David HaMelech, also Gal Einai V'Avita Niflo, which means that a person can say to daven to Hashem to open up my eyes to reveal Torah. The first thing is to make sure that you're davening to be on. Tell me which pathway to go on. Hashem Yisbarach, help guide me. The second though is as follows. Pasuk can say for Hosea. Pasuk can say for Hosea. Michacha v'yavin eila navon v'yidaim ki yisharim darchei Hashem v'tzadikim yelchubam uposhim yikashluvam. What is the adjective that describes the derech of Hashem? The derech of Hashem is described ki yisharim darchei Hashem. That the pathway is one of straight, of being yasher, not being there with cheshbonos rabim, not being there convoluted, complex thoughts. Am I behaving in a way which is yasher? Sefer HaYashar, Bereishis, is referred to as Sefer HaYashar. Then Tziv writes very famously in this Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis, the avos are yasharim. What does it mean to be yasher? Yasher reflects a certain quality of midah. It's certain midos. Certain character traits. that the way that you carry yourself, the way that you interact with others, is nothing short of yashar. I'm behaving in a yashar kind of a way. He's a yashar guy. He's someone who's really, you know, he's straight in the path. He's behaving the way people are supposed to behave. It's like, I say this as an aside. There's no one I trust less than someone that self-identifies as yashar. Like I said, listen to me, I'm a yashar guy. You hear someone say, like, listen to me, I'm a yashar guy. So I already know that that guy's trying to manipulate me. Straight up. I made this to Ara once, and then Rebbetzin Hutt walked in the house. I said to my wife, I'll give you a raya that I'm right. Does your husband ever identify as a yashar guy? She said, oh, he would never say that about himself. Said, exactly. Exactly. He's like the most yashar guy in the world. He would never self-identify as people who are yashar don't often say, like, it's like the guy, like, by the way, don't worry if I don't learn anything about Jai, but, like, I've mastered that mida. I've mastered that one. I'm your guy. Gemara and Sotah notwithstanding, if any of you are holding with that, that's a different Gemara. But I'm saying that's like, there's a certain thing you hear people say, and you say, like, I don't know. So part of the yashar is to be able to appreciate, I deal with a certain pashtus, I deal with a certain simplicity, I deal with a certain yashrus. It's a yashar kind of a person. Just it's straight. It's behaving the way that you're supposed to behave. Look over here. How do I know if it is? So it's supposed to be yisharim. What's yashrus? If you feel it, a certain way. Other me'at motivo harei who maven who margus beyashrus. We intuitively feel a certain kind of yashrus. A certain kind of straightness in the way we interact with people. We're not manipulating them. We're not exploiting them. We're dealing with them in a certain pashtus, a certain yashrus, the way the avos did. The way the avos interacted with people was to be as yashrus as possible. Next, we have a pasuk in Mishlei, Paragimel, pasuk Yitzayin, very well known. Durachecha darchei noam, v'chol nesivoshei shalom. The derech of Hashem is darchei noam. It's ways or ways of pleasantness. Lord, a little bit. Od k'siv, there, back in Musar. Durachecha darchei noam, v'chol nesimanei hayashas. K'derech hayashas molicha l'noam u'shalom. That one of the ways I know I'm on the derech Hashem is that when the way I behave around people, it brings more peace and it brings more sweetness. It brings more, things are nicer. If the way that I act always comes with a certain kind of abrasiveness, if the way I react with other people is a way which is so far from Derechecha Darchei Noam, so I know that I'm off a little bit. I know that something is wrong if my pathway, Avodas Hashem, the way I'm trying to build my midos, is having people get upset at me all the time, it's having people get frustrated with me all the time, it's having people that are just having our... So some Derechecha Darchei Noam, to choose the ways of pleasantness. I'm going to make a very, very brief ha'ara right now in brackets. None of this means that there aren't times where in the quest for Avodas Hashem, people will have to do things that aren't popular. There are Yisurei D'oraisa, and Halacha always wins. Chaim Levitz is not arguing, is what you'll find in certain secular outside of Orthodoxy, which is to argue that, like, Derechecha Darchei Noam is the only principle which dictates everything. You're like, that mitzvah's really hard. I know, but don't worry. Derechecha Darchei Noam, it's okay. You can drive on Shabbos. And you're like, what? And you're like, no, Derechecha Darchei Noam, I'm telling you, it's ways or ways of pleasantness. And for me, like, I can't walk to shul without air conditioning. Ridiculous. It can't be. I need my coffee in the morning, and like, I really only like a certain kind of fresh fruit. I can't, no. I need, the machine has to go. I need it already. My milk has to be like frothed on top. It has to be that way. And like, otherwise, it's just not pleasant. Derechecha Darchei Noam. It is true that there are times in halachic context where we quote this. We wrote this yesterday. The Gemara was a couple times. We quoted yesterday at one point with some of the guys here that the Din D'oraisa is that women are Pturos and Pru Revu. And the Meshech Chacham explains because Rechecha Darchei Noam, the Torah didn't want to be Mechayev women to undergo the pain of childbirth. To obligate them to go through that pain, the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness. Chaim Levitz is not referring here to a question about your fidelity and commitment to halacha. What Chaim Levitz is describing here is the way you interact with other people. So if I'm a guy and I'm saying, you know what, it's really weird. All of my roommates, they're like not so happy with me. And my chavrusas are like, also, they have like kindness a little bit in how I'm doing. I'm getting feedback because I'm listening a little bit. They're like, nachpat rachin v'nachkora, I'm examining my ways and I'm saying, I'm not sure the human relationships I have with others is where it's supposed to be. So that means that maybe there's not enough derechecha darchei noam. A certain kind of sweetness which is supposed to be there. Not only that, let's keep on going. Tehillim Chaf Hei. Tov v'yasher Hashem, al kein yorech atarim baderech. That God's pathway is tov v'yasher. not only yashar, it's also good. It's also good. What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be good? Chaim Shalevitz suggests that it's really a Gemara in Sechus Yuman, a very famous Gemara. That the goal, how do I know what I'm doing? How do I know what I'm doing is considered to be good? The way I know that what I'm doing is considered to be good is because Shem Shemaim is Mizahiv. That's through my actions, Shem Shemaim is strengthened. It's more loved in this world. That people see me and they say, Kamen Na'e, how wonderful is this person? Ashrei lo l'ploni, shalom haTorah. How wonderful it is. It's a person who walks through the street, who goes away for Shabbos this week, and I'm in someone else's house. And the attitude that people have when they see me is, whoa, here's a Yashar guy. He's a guy, he showed up at time, he said he would show up, he behaved appropriately. He's a person at the whole time, Chol Nesivo Seha Shalom. He's a person at the whole time, Terechacha Darchei Noam. He was so pleasant to have at the Shabbos table. What a wonderful thing. He said over Dvar Torah, it was a nice Dvar Torah. It wasn't like a Dvar Torah. He wasn't like mussering me, you know, in a very like, and by the way, I can't believe that, like, at your Shabbos table. I'm not judging. I'm just noting. Even if I'm only being mechazik myself to never come back here again, I still think it's valuable for me to highlight for you. I'm just, you know. So it's not so much the Derechai HaDarchei Noam kind of a phenomenon. A nice, sweet, you know, idea. Conversations that are nice and sweet. That's one thing. And then there's the Tov. God's ways are good. What I love to suggest, part of it is to be good, is that you're the kind of person that when people leave after interacting with you, they say, wow. You know, it's like there's a kid, there's a 13-year-old there at the Shabbos table who was with you for Shabbos. At the end of that Shabbos, when he interacted with you, he says, you know what, I think yeshiva could be more for me. Or he leaves and he says, if that's a guy who learns in yeshiva, so I'm not sure I'm really checking in that much. I'm not sure I'm so interested. Which way is it? Shem Shemayim was Mis'ahi. Shem Shemayim was you furthered the love of the Ribbono Sha'olam or not? I mean, a person can't sleep a lot. That's the thing that people do when you go away for Shabbos. That's understood and that's great. But it means your interactions at the table, the way that you behave and the way that you carry yourself, the way that you model a certain kind of positive approach to Yadus. So Derechacha Darchei Noam, V'chol Nesivos Hashem, sure, and also Tov V'Yashar, that it should be good, and it should look good. That people should see you in a way where what it really does is it brings something. Im Holicha Adam B'Derech, She'akol Mahalu M'Shachem Osa. If you go in a way that people praise, parentheses, I'm not going in that way so that people will praise me. No. The way I behave, I hear nice things. V'omrim, Ploni Shalom HaTorah, Ra'u Kamen Naim Derechach, That you hear people say, you know that guy? That guy learns. How wonderful is that guy? How wonderful is that guy? Look what he's doing. So that's something that you know I'm on the right path. I know I'm doing a good job. This is Chaim Shalevitz. If I'm always thinking of new chops and new ways of manipulating people and this kind of a track, if I'm always thinking about, it's a verse of Shem which is abrasive around people around. I have negative interactions often. And there are people that... And I know that when I go away, again, that 14-year-old kid who's sitting there is saying, I like this guy. I could do this. Not because you're actively engaging so much in conversation with him, although it's nice if you are, but it's the way that we carry ourselves, the way that, like, there's so much, like, talent to harness in this room, so much impact to have. It's like going away for Shabbos. Forget, it's not about, like, you know, it's like, we're fond of inside of Rabbi Shore, in Vemito Talmidim Harbe. That in Pirkei Avos, how does the average person have Talmidim Harbe? Most of us are not teaching in classrooms. Talmidim Harbe is, he's playing business with the fine things, because we all have Talmidim in the way that we act. Every single person that comes to davening on time has Talmidim. Because other people see that and strengthens the general crowd as a whole. If at 9:30 in the morning everyone wasn't there, but there are only a couple people there, so the people who aren't there, they also have Talmidim. Talmidim to do not as great things. And the way, as I'm sure so powerfully, the way that we act sets a tone for people. Not your Talmidim in the sense that now I give them, like, you know, like, you're all my Talmidim. You know, like, and he's like, but it means the way that we behave has impact on others, even if we're not saying anything, even if we're never going to teach, even if I'm never going to say a word, the greatest impact you can often have is by people who don't say anything. It's just people who entirely sit there and behave the way that people are supposed to behave. And when you can do things that way, So then you know already that you're in a bit of a different spot, a bit of a different spot. So Chaim Shalom is, you know, describes here, and we'll end with just one more nekuda, which I think is so important, and I think it's even still the Maisa. Chaim Shalevitz is dealing with a shiloh. Chaim Shalevitz is a giant of a Shiva and a giant of a Baal Musar. A person who understands the way of merging both of those ideas together. The Chachma of Regesh and the Chachma of heart and the Chachma of mind, the Chachma of intellect, that Medrash Nyakot Shimoni, the ability to merge them together. There's a certain, almost your clay-like component, Tzichus Musar. Give me Yisod, build me Yisod, bring me Raias to Yisod, do it that way. You can't learn a Sefer and not say, wow, he was a giant of Talmud Chacham. He did it all before there were things like Bar Ilan. You know, like, he knew these psukim. You know, there was something very immensely, I mean, many of us know psukim also, some of them, but the way he pulled it together, the brilliance of it, is something which was really, really remarkable. His avod as a Rebbe, remarkable. The question of dealing with this, examine not only the individual Maisim, as a whole, the path I'm on. He's not speaking right now about, like, Hashkafic paths. He's speaking right now about, in avodas Hashem, the path as far as cultivation of Midos, the kind of Ben Torah I'm becoming, kind of Obed Hashem I'm becoming. Am I becoming, and how do I know if that's true? Yashrus, Darchei Noam, Nesivos HaShalom, Tov, Shem Shemayim. He gives one more quality that he describes at the end, which for Chaim Shalevitz is a major piece of the way I know I'm on a good path or not. Part of what it means to be a person who's Tov, part of your path has to be defined by, and that is Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov for him is a game changer. People who are Makir Tov, people who are Makir Tov, people who are able to demonstrate and reflect and express gratitude, those who help them, that is the Midah of Chashav people. Another time we'll speak about Hakaras HaTov. Rav Huttner has a very strong line about Hakaras HaTov. I at least have been struck in my life that many of the people that I look up to as being most Chashav are the people who undoubtedly demonstrate the most Hakaras HaTov, even in unique circumstances. Aki Dekach, that Yoel Schwartz writes in his Sefer of Chaim Shalevitz, happens to be, I felt this also sometimes, although now it's like a Mar Makom for it. Chaim Shalevitz, when he would interview people to get into Mir, so one of the psulim, one of the things that would make it very difficult for you to get into Mir was if you critiqued the institution you had just been in. If you were critiquing the yeshiva that you just learned in, if you were critiquing the previous steps, so for him, that was, I'm not sure we want you here. Because if it's not, it doesn't mean you can't have a ha'ara, but I didn't like this that much or that so much. But if there isn't the Hakaras HaTov, Moshe Rabbeinu had Hakaras HaTov to inanimate objects. That's Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu had Hakaras HaTov to, you know, as Chazal tell us, he couldn't do the Makkah of Dam because he had Hakaras HaTov to water. Hakaras HaTov is not about, like, oh, did the water really, like, deserve it? Hakaras HaTov is much more sort of internal in a certain sense. It's more about the way you view things. And a person can always, like, you can have Ha'aras and things to improve, and that's fine. Chaim Shalevitz, it was, how do I speak about, how do I make my previous institutions? And I would broaden it a little bit. How do I speak about the world from which I come? It's a beautiful, beautiful place. If all of us are here, we are here because of things along the way that led us to be here. Things that led us to be here. It requires some insight sometimes to appreciate as well as possible how to have that Hakaras HaTov. But to demonstrate that for him is a game changer. It's beautiful Torah. Beautiful Torah. Person wants to know, am I on the right path? So the question is, am I behaving with a certain class, a certain dignity, a certain integrity, a certain sensitivity, a certain compassion, a certain commitment to others? And am I the kind of person that people interact with? They say, come and know, how beautiful. How beautiful is that person? Asrei mi shalom do Torah. How praiseworthy is the person who taught him Torah? How praiseworthy is the person who learns Torah? How wonderful is the person who cultivates and builds himself? We should be zocha that this is not a bad time of year to examine our drachim, examine our pathway. Pathway, the individual mice, for sure, but am I doing things the way that I'm supposed to be doing? A very, very powerful spiritual Chaim Shalevitz, hopefully some wonderful insight in terms of his own Torah. Hopefully it can allow us to give us the chizik to examine our ways, Bet Shem Yisparach, be able to open the Sefer Tzichus Musar and to learn it as much as possible. So you guys have a great, great Shabbos.